the I'm Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Ian Carmel of the Late Late Show on CBS, the finest network in all the land. How's it going?
It's going good. Any day you're employed by the Tiffany Network, as you know, it's a beautiful day.
Oh, the sun's brighter. The air conditioning is cooler.
Oh, it's, every time you eat an Otter Pop, it's one of the good older Otter Pops and not one of the new kind of like... where all the rappers are the same Otter Pops, we still get the old good Otter Pops.
Oh, those are the best ones. Yeah, that was part of the deal, is they stored them all for us.
Yeah, CBS bought them. I have the week off this week, and I've just been sitting here thinking about all the great programming on CBS.
Yeah, no, I'm excited for The Big Bang Theory and season 29 of The Amazing Race.
It's going to be fantastic. Mike and Molly
is probably
still on.
It's got to be still on. It's at least in syndication somewhere.
Jag. I love Jag.
We all love Jag.
Just been thinking about Jag a lot lately.
Yeah, possibly Chicago Hope. I think that was a CBS show.
That might have been one.
Yeah.
If it wasn't, it was awful. But
right.
Assuming it was great.
It was either on CBS or ABC. I can't really remember, but one of those is good, and the other one is ABC.
The other one's trash. It's a network owned by a mouse, and it should be mocked by everyone, unless one of us gets employed by ESPN or a different Disney company.
Then I could change my tune, but as of right now, I have no reason to.
Yeah, but if that does happen, we were saying this ironically, how could anyone ever hold that opinion and be considered serious?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
What are the odds we could co-star, or just cameo, on Two Broke Girls? I feel like
I think we could get in there, yeah.
We're both CBS employees. You can get me on the lot, I'm sure.
I think our badges already get us onto that set.
Oh, I don't think they ever gave me a badge. That's how low I am.
I'll say I lost a badge and you can use it.
Okay.
We're kind of like the male equivalents of the Two Broke Girls. Like, okay. I am very buxom. You know, I'm a very buxom man.
I consider you the Kat Dennings of male stand-up comedy.
I want to thank you so much for saying that. That is one of the nicest things anyone's ever said of me.
And I'm definitely the other one.
The other one, for sure. You're the other one of basketball writing and podcasting.
Right. That's actually on my... on my business cards, it just says, no, the other one.
The other one. I don't think anyone knows her. Kat Dennings might not know her name.
It seems very unlikely that she would. I think that show's been on like 6 years. I don't think she knows.
There's no
way. She probably has like a nickname. It's probably like, hey, Blondie.
Blondie, yeah.
Right, yeah, for sure.
Or NKD, just for not Kat Dennings. Everybody calls her NKD.
Right. But good for that show. It's got the syndication deal on TBS.
Oh, yeah, they're making money on top of money. Congratulations, yeah. Whitney Cummings.
Right, exactly. Whitney Cummings just wins again.
She keeps winning.
She keeps winning. how are things going? How is your time off, other than just sitting around thinking about programming?
Things are good. I'm shooting a guest spot on a new Showtime show about stand-up comedy. It's called I'm Dying Up Here. It's not even out yet, but it's about stand-up at the Comedy Store in the 70s.
Oh,
so
wow.
That should watch me get cut out of it now. But I've been shooting that, and then on Thursday I fly up to Portland to do some stand-up shows.
Personal news that I don't know that I should give out. My parents are officially retiring to the Oregon area.
I love that so much.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to help them out. It's in like the next month or so.
It's going to be Thanksgiving at your house this year.
Yeah, no, you can come to my parents' house. There's going to be plenty of room.
Are you gonna bring Boogie with you?
I have to, yeah.
All right, fantastic.
I've spent so much time away from that dog.
How is he doing with the surgery? Last podcast I listened to started with a very graphic update on the anatomical specifics of his surgery.
He's great.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no, he, like, today's kind of the first day we can start, like, letting him run around and jump a little bit. It was, like, 5 to 7 days. This is, like, essentially day six. So, naturally,
how do you lock down a French bulldog? Like, I feel like if they want to run and jump, they're going to run and jump. Like, you got to play some, like, floor slapping defense.
And it's, like, and it's not... You can't like dive on top of the dog. Like I can't dive on top of a 19-pound dog.
I mean, you could if you really wanted to devastate it, or perhaps teach it humility. But you probably shouldn't.
I feel like that would not go over well in the household. It's a lot of like trying to hover around. You throw your arms out and like it's like dealing with a grizzly bear. Like you could try to get as big as possible and corral it.
Yeah.
And you just plead like, please stop jumping. Please stop jumping. This is so bad for you.
It's like guarding James Harden. You can't touch him for even a second. You just have to try to be big around him and hope he doesn't make mistakes.
Right. That's really what it is. And so, yeah. By the way, I'm not good at that.
Right.
So he was. You know, he jumps on the couch when he wants to. He jumps on the bed when he wants to. Every once in a while, he gets a wild hair up his ass and starts running around the apartment. For the most part, he's been pretty lethargic, which has been great.
This is good. I know when I got neutered, it was hard for me not to run around. So
you were. I mean, you were. It was the fastest you've ever been.
It's the fact I was sprinting up and down the street, finally free from the constraints of being forced to be a sexual being.
Right, exactly. Know? Yeah, once you're free of testicles,
free to pursue my studies.
It's really the best time of your life. So yeah, no, the dog's good. The dog will be at Thanksgiving with the Harpers and the Carmels, and I can't
That's
wait.
Good. Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Hey, speaking of Portland,
yeah, nice transition.
The Trail Blazers, which are a team close to your heart. Had themselves an interesting end of the season. I guess the last time we talked, we weren't sure if we wanted them to make the playoffs because there was like the whole idea of like maybe they aren't that good and then they'd lose their draft pick. It turns out they are pretty good. They're pretty exciting. They had an interesting offseason to say the least, and you got to feel pretty good about them.
They went full first and 15th at the mall in the offseason. They spent so much money. They spent so much. I do feel good about them. I love that team, and I love watching them win. But they spent so much money, which is something I feel conflicted about. Because on the one hand, you know, now that's not money we can spend on possibly better players.
Right.
Who aren't Evan Turner. Not that there's anything wrong with Evan Turner.
I'm going to disagree with you on that last point. I really don't enjoy him.
In a vacuum, there's nothing wrong with Evan Turner.
No, even in a vacuum, I find a lot wrong.
Okay, were he vacuuming your house for you just as a friend? There's nothing wrong with Evan Turner.
I feel like he's not getting the corners.
He's a vacuum dominant player.
Yeah, he's here's the thing. He's gonna end up like the Blazers will win the championship next year, and he'll be Finals MVP. And I'm just gonna have to eat so much crow and feces on the internet.
That would be so great. I would. Get like Bobby Flay to cook that crow for you if that were to happen.
Yeah.
Is that a good chef? I have no idea.
I don't know.
First came to mind.
I watched a Gordon Ramsay show within the last week where he just took this restaurant, this struggling Italian restaurant,
yeah.
And he took them into an art gallery and he showed them all these amazing portraits of food. And it turned out it was all from, like, competing places in the area. And then he showed him portraits of their food.
Oh, my God.
And, I mean, it looked like it was pulled out of a dumpster. And I just thought, this is either going to motivate them to be just the best Italian restaurant in New Jersey, or the family is going to be completely torn apart and they'll never love each other again.
He's so sadistic. Which one did it end up being? Did they get to fall from the episode?
I think I fell asleep. I just remember the portraits, and I remember they redesigned the inside, and they gave him an iPad to like do the seating charts and everything.
Oh, that'll fix it.
Yeah.
You know what you can do, but it's kind of I have to warn you, it's kind of a depressing thing to do, is when you watch kind of like old episodes of Kitchen Nightmares, you can then Google those restaurants to see how they're doing.
Oh.
And it's a little bit of like the Biggest Loser thing where everybody gets super fat again immediately.
That sounds like emotional Russian roulette right there.
Yeah, a lot of the restaurants. Every now and then you find one that's like thriving and they got the old Otter Pops. Everything's good. But like most of them are completely, they're just like closed. You know, like the website has a GIF or whatever of somebody like, you know, doing construction. Like the website's under construction.
It's like a little mini Bob the Builder, but not licensed. So it's just different enough. And it's just like, hey, we'll be back in a couple of months.
Completely. Czechoslovakian Bob the Builder, just free of any trademarks or copyrights.
Right.
It's depressing. If you're ever feeling too good, go ahead and treat yourself to that nightmare of an evening.
No, that sounds like a great idea. but yeah, Evan Turner is a Portland Trailblazer.
I don't know how to feel about it. I saw Terry Stotts say, and I have to admit to not reading the full article, I just perused the headline,
sure.
And Terry Stotts just said that Evan Turner is going to shoot better from the three for us. And I was like, well, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, I mean, that would be spectacular. Al Farouk Aminu did it, right?
Al Farouk Aminu did do it, yeah.
I'll say this about Al Farouk Aminu, yeah. Is when he was in Dallas, I did hear a few people say, like, hey, this guy we actually think can shoot. He shoots pretty well in practice. We just haven't really applied it too much to the game. So then when he went to Portland and they were like, oh, we're going to have him shoot, and it worked, it didn't surprise me that much. Like, I didn't expect him to be as good as he was, but he was still, like, pretty, you know, pretty solid as a stretch four or whatever you want to call it. I've never heard that about Evan Turner, though.
Evan Turner, you would be surprised if he all of a sudden started shooting threes.
Yeah, like if he just all of a sudden was like a even 35% three-point shooter, I'd probably throw my TV out the window and be like, I don't understand anything about this job anymore.
Oh, God. It's so – like all the moves – like when you're a Portland fan, anytime we get like any free agent, you almost have to be kind of excited and grateful because it's so hard to get like young black millionaires to come live in Portland, right? when there's so many other options. And like at least Evan Turner and Festus Ezeli are like very interesting dudes.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like and I think for the most part, Trailblazer fans, at least, you know, maybe not the ones who are active on the internet and make threats against people, but like the ones who actually go to the games and you know, pay taxes and have a family or whatever, like they like interesting players. Like they fall in love with people like Robin Lopez and like Channing Frye.
Right.
You know, regardless of their performance on the court. You know, there's like a whole cult around Myers Leonard, and I love Myers Leonard, but you know, he got paid. That made me really happy. Myers Leonard, I was wearing Jordan 1s. I was doing like a TV thing for the Blazers on the court, just like simple Jordan 1s, and he like complimented me on my shoes, which let me know that he also has kind of mediocre taste, you know.
funny enough, those are my favorite Jordans.
They're my favorite Jordans too, but it's just like, all right, well, we don't need to get all like song and dancey about just like Jordan 1s that I'm wearing, you know.
Right.
If I was wearing like foam posits or had like the, you know, Space Jam 7s or something like right. that, then it's worth pointing out. But it's nice to find somebody else with IKEA taste. plays on an NBA basketball team.
Yeah, definitely. So I think the Evan Turner thing, like, I don't like the idea. Like it sounded like they immediately were saying, like, oh, he's going to start, and we like him with the ball and like CJ and Dame playing off of him. And to me, that's crazy because like, why would you want the ball out of CJ or Dame's hands at any time?
Right.
But if you can stagger him like sort of with the second unit, I like that more. Like I still don't like watching Evan Turner play basketball, but I can at least buy into like sort of the role he had with the Celtics last year.
That kind of makes sense. That's what we're hoping for. Like if he's on the court with either Dame or CJ, and never both Dame and CJ. That I would be into a little bit more. But it's just, it was, you know, when they say happiness is based off of expectation.
Right.
And going into the offseason, I think we all had, like, slightly higher expectations. Like, maybe we'll get Chandler Parsons, or maybe we'll get one of those center free agents.
Right.
Like, we were so... you know, fat off expectations that there were people like saying like, oh, I wouldn't even want Dwight Howard. Like Dwight Howard probably wants to come to our team. And I don't even want him.
Right.
And then there wasn't even like a second thought given by Dwight Howard to coming to Portland, you know?
Right. There was that like 4-hour period. It was like, hey, Chandler Parsons and Dwight Howard might go to Portland. And
right.
I got really excited for Portland. And then that quickly dissipated.
Like cotton candy in a rainstorm. It was gone.
Exactly.
We were all, like about Dwight Howard, Portland fans were like people on the internet who were like, oh, Giselle's knees are too pointy. Like, I honestly don't even think she's that hot. She's just like a model. We were all just, you know, and then we ended up with the girl next door.
Right. It's like you're looking at Hannah Simone, you're like, eh, I'm more into blondes.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't know that you should be picky in this situation.
Right, exactly. We're lucky to get a girl with hair.
your low expectations or love based on expectations makes sense because I did just see Bad Moms and I kind of enjoyed it.
Oh, did you like it?
I went out of there like thinking I'm glad I went and saw this movie.
It's got a very talented cast. That's
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, like I had very low expectations going in. My lady had just gone to like the Jason Bourne movie like 2 days before, so. And she'll watch a lot of bad movies with me. She's really good about that. But I felt like I kind of owed her one. And I like Mila Kunis. And I like the cast. So I went in and I was very happy. So I don't know if Bad Moms is like the Evan Turner, Festus Ezeli, Myers Leonard, Alan Crabb spending spree of movies. But I felt pretty satisfied. As I imagine you feel pretty satisfied.
If Bad Moms had cost $200 million to make, then it would be that equivalent. Everyone they signed is like a good dude. And that, I think that still matters to Blazers fans, and I'm excited about that. And Terry Stotts has earned the benefit of the doubt from Blazer fans as well. You know, Evan Turner is coming off like being coached by Brad Stevens, who, you know, according to the internet, is Obi-Wan Kenobi. So, like, I don't know how much of a coaching bump there's going to be.
There may be even a coaching regression there. I guess it depends. Like, I think very highly of Terry Stotts. He's one of my favorite guys to hear talk in a scrum or whatever, because he gives real basketball answers most of the time. Not in the playoffs, but most of the time.
Yeah.
But, like, I think the combination, you have to feel pretty confident in the combination of Neil O'Shea making the calls for the roster and then Terry Stotts, like, finding a way to make it work, right?
I do. I think, and, I mean, to amend that spending thing, like, we got Al-Farouq Aminu and Ed Davis on, like, cheap, declining contracts. So
yeah, for sure.
There's a little bit more room to, like, make, like, if they are mistakes, there's a little bit more room to make mistakes. And it's like, which big free agent were we going to get next year if we you know, carried the room over? I don't know if it would have been anyone next year either. Well,
I don't know. Blake Griffin did a stand-up comedy thing in Montreal. Maybe he gets into the whole, you know, stand-up comedy Portland scene. Maybe you recruit him.
I would love that. I feel like I could take Blake around to open for me. You know, do like a tight 15 before my set.
I thought he was pretty good. Like, I'm not positive he wrote his own jokes, but I thought his delivery was, like, pretty solid.
I think he did write his own jokes. One of my coworkers at the Late Late Show is developing a cartoon that they just announced that sold with Blake Griffin. He's doing a cartoon on Fox. They're doing a pilot. And Blake Griffin is, like, doing the voice talent and is producing it. And apparently Blake's, like, a really funny guy. Like, he's got a dry sense of humor.
Yeah.
But like, an actual, like, authentically really funny guy, which makes me furious because that's what I'm supposed to do. Right. I'm supposed to be, like, sort of obese and ineffective, but at least I'm funny and charming.
Right. It's a lot like, yeah, sure, ladies. He has an amazing body and millions of dollars, but I've got the charm. Well, he also has the charm.
He also has the charm and the comedic chops. Something I might Jeff Galooly him. I might go full Tonya Harding, embrace my Northwest heritage.
Yeah.
And just or it could just let it happen on the basketball court, like it's happened every year, you know, in the past few years. It might just happen on its own.
Right. It might just take care of itself. That's just a problem that really solves itself. That's good.
Yeah. Just let them play the Blazers in the playoffs again. That's going to work this year.
I really like the Festus Ezeli signing. I know there are health concerns, but I thought he was someone before the decline at the end of the season and the health and whatever. I thought he was going to get, like, stupid paid this summer.
Oh, yeah. He was set up for it, right? Yeah. He was going to be one of the higher paid he was going to be one of the – what are they
– like, Bismack Biyombo got, like, 4 years, 72 minutes. Like, I thought he was in line for something like that. And then to get, I don't know, what did they get him, like 2 years, $8 million a year or something like that? That's a steal.
Yeah, it was not a lot of money. And with how much rent has gone up in Portland, it's even less money.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
So gentrified.
I mean, he's going to have to be, he'll probably have to be one of those people that, like, pretends to be homeless on the streets.
Yeah, he's definitely going to have to do that. He's going to have to get a guitar and a skinny dog and just sort of sit there and hope people give him unfinished Subway sandwiches. That's kind of the Portland street kid move.
Yeah.
Festus out there.
That's definitely like the Portland middle class move at this point.
That's like most of the people who work at Wyden and Kennedy also have to do that.
Exactly. So going into this season, that, like, I know going into last season, it's, you don't really know what to expect. Like, a lot of people, myself included, were projecting them to be pretty bad. They obviously far exceeded expectations, especially second half of the season. So what, like, as a fan, what do you hope from them this season? Like, do they have to get back to the second round? Do they have to win a certain number of games for you to be happy? Or is it just, like, as long as they're fun, I'm in?
Well, they were such a fraudulent second round team. No, I mean, that sounds like I'm clowning on them, but, like, it's weird to place the expectation of second round on them. Because they only got into the second round once the other team's two best players got so hurt they couldn't play. And then, like, J.J. Redick was also banged up, you know? And they rose to the occasion, you know, all credit to them for that. But, like, I think as long as they're a playoff team, I think I have the same expectations. Well, last season, going into the season, I thought they were going to miss the playoffs and be terrible. But, like, I expect them to finish sort of in the 5-6-7 range again.
Maybe. Yeah, I think that's fair. Maybe they can get home court in the first round.
Maybe get home court. Maybe win the Northwest Division. But like Utah's going to be so tough.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma City is such a question mark.
Yeah, I still think they're. I mean, I still think they're really good. Like I maybe am overvaluing them a little bit. I still just like the approach. I think Oladipo is really good. Losing Kevin Durant probably going to affect them.
Where did he go?
I think he went to Boston.
Yeah, Boston's going to be good this year.
Yeah, they're going to be really good.
Kevin Durant, yeah. Kevin Garnett. That's going to be an amazing team. I love basketball.
Yeah, no, you're. I mean, you know, you love you some Bill Cousy from back in the day.
I love Bill Cousy. I love Purple Auerbach. Purple Auerbach is maybe the greatest head coach of all time.
No, he's the greatest manager ever.
Big Purple, dude.
Yeah,
Big Purple.
They called him the Perp.
Wearing that classic Celtics red and gold.
Yeah, they called him the Purple Trader.
They did. They called him Big Purple. Drink is named after Purple Auerbach because he would abuse cough syrup on the sidelines. His teams were so
Oh, bad. Yeah, those cigars were actually just cylinders of cough syrup.
Just dipped in promethazine syrup and left there overnight.
Wow, you really went with like the prescription word there.
Yeah,
that's.
I have some. I'll say that like I had a upper respiratory infection this year, and the doctors prescribed me. Like promethazine syrup, which is scissor, it's Purple Drink, and like it might be a more dialed down version of it, but it's still the same drug. And I have no idea how people party on that because I drank like the recommended dosage, like that you're supposed, and like it knocked me out. Like I fell asleep at like 5 in the afternoon, sitting up on the couch with like a bowl of ice cream in my lap. Like it is. It is completely powerful.
The great side effect, though, is you had one of the hottest mixtapes of 2016.
I did. I dropped straight fire.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I, you know, even though I was the number one draft pick, I was unable to play quarterback for the Oakland Raiders.
Right.
was I Jamarcus Russell? Just deep cuts. Deep cuts left and right. Yeah.
No, that was didn't he, like, threw a football from his knees or something? Or maybe I'm thinking of Kyle Bowler. I always get
those two. That was him. He did. He was, like, from his knees, like, threw it, and it knocked the space shuttle out of this guy.
Right, exactly. And Al Davis said, I need that guy.
Yeah, he caused Apollo 13, I think, at his combine.
No, I think that's correct. That's just chemistry right there. You didn't like the Kevin Durant move.
I did not like the Kevin Durant move. And I have to qualify it because like everyone has turned it, not everyone, but some people have like turned it into this like human rights campaign. You know what I mean? When it's like basketball players have the right to self-determination. I'm like, yes, and it's wonderful, and I celebrate that, and if he's happy, I'm happy for him on a human level. But I also think it is, and I don't think he's a coward. I think that's like a crazy word to use on somebody who's making a basketball decision. I just think it sucks. I just think it makes the NBA like a lot less fun. It killed, for me, in terms of interest, killed like two of the most interesting teams in the NBA. Because like the Thunder are no longer a championship contender.
Right.
I think.
No, and I agree.
And like the Warriors, they're not even like. I wasn't rooting for them last year, but there's no, they're just not as compelling to me. There is something interesting to be like, how far can this go? You know, like,
right.
How far can they take it? But at the same time, it's like, well, if they're in that position where it's if they win the championship, all they've done is met expectations. And if they lose the championship, all they've done is failed expectations. It's a team that can only meet expectations, which is, you know, to me, not as fun to watch. Like, they're an enemy now. And, like, he would have been so much more... The Thunder were so much fun to watch last
year.
They
were a lot of fun.
They were so much fun. Yeah. And, like, the Oladipo trade would have been interesting. You know, like, it gave them another look. And, like, I wanted so badly to see them run that back and have, like, you know, a great rivalry between the Thunder and the Warriors. And now... That's just not there. So just as a basketball fan, I don't like it. You know, I'm happy for Kevin Durant, and I hope he.
And you're pro human rights.
I'm pro human rights. Right. If the Warriors made him work, you know, in an Apple factory making iPads, I would have had a human problem with it. But since they're not, I don't. It just.
Well, we haven't seen how they're going to use him yet.
Right. That's true. He might be just making iPads for Joe Lacob.
Right.
I don't know. And like as a Blazer fan, as a fan of a team that was like, you know, somewhat ascendant and like sneaky good last year. Now it's like the ceiling for everyone else just like it feels like became kind of lower, you know?
Yeah, I think all that's fair. I mean, to me, I really love elitism when it comes to the NBA. So I'm with you.
You mean the guy who had the monocle in his sector for a while as a fan of elitism?
Yeah, it's shocking. I know. I'm really bummed about the Thunder. Like, I love that team.
Yeah.
I was so in on that team last year. Not that that was like this, hey, here's a dark horse. For it. Like, everyone knew they were good. But I really thought that they were championship level. And even still, even after losing that 3-1 lead, like, I still thought they were a championship level team.
They were
so fun to me and so interesting. That dynamic was so interesting. So I'm bummed for them and I'm bummed for the organization in that respect. But at the same time, I look at it, at the Warriors situation now, I'm like, yes, like just try to burn everything to the ground. Like the only part of Game of Thrones I truly understand and love is the dragons, right? And so when the dragons come on screen, I'm like, just burn it all. Like I don't even care who's in the crossfire. Just burn everything. I don't know the names anyway. So burn it all. Like I'm in on that. So to me, they're like the Game of Thrones dragons. And I'm excited to see that because I want a team that is almost too good because in theory, it should force some kind of innovation or change within strategy or the way things are approached or whatever to, like, try to figure out how to stop that, right? And maybe that doesn't work, and maybe they just, like, win 5 or 6 straight titles or whatever, and then the league's, like, not fun for the next 5 or 6 years in that respect. But to me, I think it can, like, push innovation or strategy or just whatever we think the next step is in basketball. But at the same time, I also come from it as, like, a Timberwolves fan. Like, there's no pressure on the Timberwolves right now, right? Like, by the time... By the time those guys hit their prime, the Warriors should probably be on a decline, and maybe you're facing like a, well, this isn't a good example, but I was going to say like a Boston Celtics versus Detroit Pistons type of situation in like 2007, 2008 or whatever.
It would be like the Orlando, like the Shaq and Penny Magic versus those big teams.
Yeah, I get. Oh man, what if now I just got an image of Shabazz Muhammad. Just yelling at kids at his basketball camp about how like the media unfairly portrays him like he's Dennis Scott. And that made me sad for the kids.
I'm glad you didn't instead picture Karl Anthony Towns going to the Lakers. That would have been much more depressing.
Right. That would be
according to a bunch of the people here in LA is definitely gonna happen.
Well yeah, he's gonna join up with LeBron and Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant and you know everyone who's joined the Lakers over the last 5 years.
I hear they're bringing Purple Auerbach's coming back.
Purple Auerbach, they regenerated him. He's ready to coach.
Purple and gold Auerbach.
I think the Wolves are interesting in that kind of environment because, all right, well, maybe they are the team that eventually figures it out and they have time to figure it out. Like, there's no pressure. But I get it from like a Blazers standpoint. Not that the Blazers window is now. But that makes it certainly less fun if they show up in a second-round series again, right?
Nor was it a window, even.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing about the Blazers.
Yeah.
I feel is like I like what they have, obviously, aside from Evan Turner. I don't think this is a championship team. I don't think it's a championship core even in, like, 3 or 4 years. But I think the kind of spare parts they have or the role players they have can play themselves into becoming super tradable assets that gets that third guy for them.
Absolutely.
And that's where they become super interesting to me.
Yeah, you could see a trade where like Alan Crabb and, you know, like Evan Turner or even Al Farouq Aminu in a super affordable contract get like moved for somebody. That could definitely happen. Well, this move is like classic Blazers. I think Blazers, to get back to the team, I think fans are like kind of used to this. Our entire lives, the team has, you know, been like pretty good with, you know, one or two spikes of extreme relevance with like, you know, the Rip City, like, 91-92 team,
right.
And then the Rasheed Wallace, Scottie Pippen, Sabonis teams. Because we're kind of used to it. We're kind of used to the, you know, first or second round of the playoffs and then go home team.
Right.
But, I don't know. I guess, you know, like, I think as an NBA fan, you can like, you know, as a fan, maybe not as an NBA fan, as a fan of a specific team, you can... you know, hinge your hopes on one or two things, like either hope or dominance, right?
Right, yeah.
That's what you want, either hope or dominance. And I feel like the hope teams, you know, the young hope teams, they, you know, the Durant move didn't really do anything, you know, to mess up what they're excited about. But for the teams that hoped to be dominant, maybe like a combination of the two, the Durant move kind of like kind of dampened that a little bit.
Yeah, and, for sure. And I think there is a compelling point of like, even with Durant in tow now, like when they get to the finals and they face the Cavaliers again, and they're up 3-0 or 3-1 or 3-2 or whatever it is, like there will be that lingering, hey, can this team actually close it out this time? And the answer will most likely be yes, but I guess that adds a compelling round of storylines and everything for the moment. But yeah, like I both like the idea that I know it's going to be Warriors Cavaliers and anything else is an amazing surprise that we have to figure out. And I like that, you know, whether it's a rivalry or whatever we want to call it, I like that existing, but I get from a fan standpoint, and just really a casual observer or even a diehard. Like, there are plenty of diehards. Like, Matt Moore is not a big fan of this entire situation. Like, I get how that's just like, well, it's only the two teams now. So how fun is that?
Well, you know what's weird is, like, I mean, like, the Cavaliers are one injury away from not being that team, though.
Yeah, for sure.
And not even just LeBron. I mean, like, if they lose Kyrie, if they lose maybe even Kevin Love, maybe not Kevin Love.
Tristan Thompson, though. Like, amazingly, Tristan Thompson becomes that guy.
Right, you know, and they're like one injury away from maybe not being that team. The Warriors aren't even one injury away from not being that team.
Right.
Like, I mean, Kevin Durant could get hurt, Curry could get hurt, and it seems like they'd still be okay. Maybe they're, not Curry, but like...
they're one injury away from 72 wins. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, they're one injury away from like still probably sweeping the Spurs, you know? I don't know. And the other thing I'm worried about, and maybe this is me making an assumption, so maybe you could offer a counterpoint to this. Like, doesn't it make each of the individual players on the Warriors, like, a little less interesting? Isn't it less likely that we're going to see, like, a 37-point quarter-type performance from Klay Thompson now? Like, are we still going to see, like, Steph Curry going off and hitting, like, you know, nine threes in a row or whatever it is he does? And are we going to see, like, Kevin Durant, like, turn it, like, are those performances going to be more rare now because that ball has to be shared?
Yeah, that's a good question. No, I think that's a good question. I think the unit becomes really interesting in that respect of how they balance that. But, yeah, like, from an individual performance is kind of, like, really carry us throughout the grind of an 82-game season, right? It's like, holy crap, that guy went for 45 tonight. Like, that's – what a night. And I don't know – I mean – maybe this will end up sounding dumb in even like the first week of the new season, but like I don't know that either of those guys go for 40 this year in terms of like Durant and Curry. I think Klay is impervious to the whole like he may not go off now because I think he just has like his two favorite things to do are like DM people and like shoot. Like those are his two things that he likes to do, and that's really like I think he'll just get into those modes where he goes crazy one night and they keep giving the ball and it won't matter. But yeah, for Curry and Durant, like I do wonder if we'll have those moments because even as the Warriors were winning every night last year, a lot of that came from just these unbelievable moments from Curry. Like he would essentially save the day, and that made that night interesting outside of the win. And I don't know that we get that. Is it possible to have like a boring 70-win team? Like I mean,
I know we're gonna find out this year because they're probably gonna be a boring 70-win team. You know, Draymond will keep it interesting. We know that.
Right. No, I just signed up for Snapchat, so I know that he'll keep it interesting.
That might all be off the court interesting, though. But he'll definitely keep it interesting.
Right. Yeah, I know. For him, for sure. And then I guess we'll have, like, the Zaza Pachulia All-Star vote scandal at some point, because we almost had that last year.
That's true. Starting center on the Western Conference All-Star Zaza Pachulia.
Right, that could be. All right, I guess I can. All right, now maybe I'm talked into more individual moments. I guess not the right reasons.
God, I forgot they got Zaza Pachulia.
That's a nice pickup.
That is a nice. Isn't he like, he's just like 30, right? For some reason, I assumed like, he was like 45 years old.
Right, he looks like, and he moves like he's 45, and yet he's just highly effective in whatever he does. And, like, he's a good rebounder. He's a good passer. He can, you know, he can score inside or whatever. Like, he's just going to be kind of a perfect role player. I got to know if there's at any point, because they also picked up David West. Like, is there any point David West and Draymond Green fight, like, a scene at a Pacific Rim?
Oh, my God.
That could happen in a practice pretty early on.
That would be amazing. I would love that. That's what they should do for the Pacific Rim sequel.
It's just those two.
It'd be a lot cheaper, yeah.
It's just like a Hard Knocks of the Warriors practice, wait for that moment to happen, and then just stretch it into 2 hours.
Too tiny, like Steph Curry can sit on one of their shoulders and control them.
Right.
And then who's the other? Ian Clark can be on the other one.
Yeah, Ian Clark's perfect. That's what he was made for.
Hey, was Zaza Pachulia, do they base his age off of when he was originally carved or when the wizard turned the Easter Island statue into a person?
I think it's based off the wizard action right
okay,
there.
Okay, that explains the 30 thing. Because yes. I assumed he was like 4,500 years old.
No. He's been around for 4,500 years, but the wizard turned him into a human being 31 years ago.
That's 31 years ago. Okay, that clears it up. That makes more sense.
By the way, just because I looked it up, Bad Moms cost $20 million estimated budget.
Okay, $20 million. So way cheaper than the Blazers offseason.
Right, and grossed $50 million. So we're definitely getting a Bad Moms 2.
All right, Applegate. Applegate raking in the – you can't go wrong with Applegate at the box office.
Good for her. I really like her, unless she said something offensive that I missed in the last couple of years, and then I'm appalled by her.
And then we both disavow her, and she should just stick to ABC shows.
Right, exactly. Unless we get hired by an ABC entity.
Right, in which case, go back to CBS where you came from, lady.
Right, exactly.
C.J. McCollum could have financed Bad Moms 2 with next year's contract.
I'm so happy for him. He's a great guy.
He's the best.
Yeah, and I love his interviews. I love his interests outside of basketball. I love his game on the court. Like I'm so happy he got crazy. It's not even crazy paid. Like, he's an awesome scorer. He'll totally justify the contract.
He deserved it. I don't think anyone really, you know, blinked at that contract when it came. We were just all like, all right, you know.
Yeah, you got it done. Congratulations.
Players get paid. Fantastic.
Yeah.
When he first got to the team and he was injured for like a couple years, you know, not really playing too much, I would never call us friends, but we became like internet buddies. And we'll like DM about restaurants in Portland. And it's one of my favorite things that's ever happened.
That's great.
That I just get to talk about restaurants with C.J. McCollum on the internet.
Yeah. He followed me because I tweeted like a vine of his... of like a crossover he did or something like that. And I think he appreciated my appreciation of his handle.
Was it the one where he put Steph Curry on his butt?
No, I think he like turned around Dirk Nowitzki or something. So not even like that.
That was the Dirk one too.
Yeah, like I think you and I could turn around Dirk Nowitzki at this point.
Right, a strong wind blowing a leaf that kind of looks like a basketball could turn around Dirk Nowitzki at this
right,
point.
Exactly.
But at the same time, he could also shoot that leaf in from 16 feet. You can't do anything about it.
Anywhere. Really, yeah. Really anywhere, and I feel completely confident with him having the ball in that with that or the leaf in that situation. here's a transition. Speaking of foreigners,
yep.
What
are we gonna do about them?
No.
Gonna run for president.
That's a different podcast. That's my Eye on Hatred podcast. The Eye on Basketball podcast wants to transition to the Olympics.
Oh yeah, let's do that. That has way more to do with that.
Yeah, that will definitely not get me fired.
Yeah, but if you get in trouble for what I just said, just send a letter to James Corden.
Sure,
and he'll take care of it.
James can put me on some kind of I just want to wash the car for carpool karaoke. I don't have to be in it or sing or anything.
Do you know the crazy thing about carpool karaoke is the sheer amount of cameras that they put in the front of that car?
It's got to be a lot, right?
It's like it's so many. I'm walking into work and they're setting up the carpool karaoke car, it is an absurd amount. It seems like an illegal amount of cameras.
It would have to be dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even supposed to really have, like, dice in the mirror. I mean, that may just be, like, a don't be that guy law, but I think it's, like, an obstruction.
That's like, don't wear a fedora. It's the same. That's the same culture police.
Right.
I don't know what there's people whose entire job it is to make sure that those, like, cars are, like, drivable, and there's, like, six of them hanging outside of that car, because it's going to be James and then someone even more famous than him, like, in the car every time. But it's just crazy. And you have to remember, he got to this country like a year and a half ago.
Right.
And now is driving a car under the most difficult circumstances.
he doesn't even know what side he's supposed to be on.
Someone's getting killed. That's what I think is going on. I think Christina Aguilera will pass away during a carpool karaoke.
The only one I ever felt confident in was the one with Adele, because I knew he was in England.
He's on the right side of the road.
Yeah, and he knew where he was supposed to be in that one.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Stevie Wonder one, that was dicey. It was a very high traffic day.
Right.
It's always fun to hear the stories when he comes back.
And it's not like you can say, like, hey, Stevie, take the wheel. Right. I can't see.
He can't do it.
Or some believe he can.
Have you seen those videos?
I'm in on it. I gotta be honest.
Here's the cover from the Kitchen Nightmare fiasco, if you've watched those. Check out these videos of Stevie Wonder. There's like conspiracy theory. Well, you can explain it, Zach.
Yeah, like, well, there is a video which I think it was like a Saturday Night Live performance with Paul McCartney involved. But like someone walks by, knocks the microphone over, and Stevie catches it.
He catches it.
He catches the microphone stand. Like Bomani Jones has a story about a friend who like installed a bunch of like big screen high quality TVs in Stevie's house.
Yeah.
There are theories, and I don't think they're wrong.
What would he have to gain? It's so crazy.
It's that if he wasn't as amazing as he is in music, you would still be like, well, that guy's blind. Like, he's trying. So he would get a bump, right? So you can't start out your career thinking like, all right, well, maybe I can make it as a musician who's blind. And then, like, once people realize I'm awesome, I can be like, oh, by the way, I can see. Like, right. You can't go that route. So you kind of just have to hold it. And then I kind of think, like, that would just be a fun way to go through life. Like, I'm sure at times it's frustrating, but if you can actually see and people don't believe you can see, you can get away with a lot.
It kind of would be fun, like wandering in the kitchen at bakeries, like, whoops, am I not supposed to be here? You know, grab like a donut and then walk out.
Right, like I'm just trying to find a number to pull so I can be next, so I can be in line for this bakery. I didn't mean to grab an eclair. I can't see it. I didn't know.
And, by the way, I'm Stevie Wonder. I'm not paying for it. And then you walk out with your free Stevie Wonder donut.
Right, exactly. Like, that's kind of how he gained the weight, I feel like.
I think that's what it is. I don't – the videos are so compelling. That is the conspiracy theory that has me the most convinced.
Yeah, like, it's one, that Stevie Wonder can see, and two, that the Earth is still flat.
The Earth is flat, which I didn't even think was a conspiracy theory. I thought we'd all sort of agreed on that at this point.
No, I mean, some disagree, but –
B.O.B. spoke on it. That's all I need
to hear. People will disagree about anything these days.
Yeah, B.O.B. from that hit song.
That one.
And then his other one, the classic that we all remember.
Right, off the album.
Right.
That one.
Oh, and who can forget his iconic performance on... Yeah, I mean, he's great.
Yeah, he's amazing, yeah. The number one slash cartographer slash musician I've ever listened to.
Absolutely. Magellan with a microphone. That's what we've
That's
been
what we call since. Him.
Yeah.
Hey, we went really long, so we split this into two parts. You can find the other part in your various iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all those kind of feeds. And by the way, review and leave a 5-star review if you don't mind, because that helps us out a lot. You can listen to part 2 of this either on the page you're on or in your feeds. Thanks.